Welcome to the Investing in Real Estate Show. This is the first episode of 2023. I'm Clayton Morris. On this show, we aim to help you become a more intelligent investor, specifically a real estate investor, but overall, financial intelligence is our goal here on this show. And today is our Q&A episode, so we will take some of your questions and I will answer them. You can always leave us voicemails and we will answer them here live on the show. Just go to our website at morrisinvest.com and there's a microphone icon on the right-hand side of your screen. Now, before we get to your voicemails today, it is the first show of 2023, a first official really kickoff after the new year. And I want to say a few things about the market, the current state of the market. And I want to reiterate once again, do not believe what the government is telling you, okay? Government numbers, government payroll numbers, government jobs numbers, be very, very wary. I always get those confused. But anyway, leery, wary, it doesn't really matter. But just be aware that they are usually fishy and they are hiding a much deeper problem because these are coming from the Bureau of Labor Statistics. We're also getting these payroll numbers. And when we look at non-farm payrolls, these are the things that we're looking at. But I want you to look more closely at what's actually happening in the broader market. You know, talk to real people, talk to real businesses. Because if during the 2008 housing collapse, you were only talking to Washington people, or you were only talking to Wall Street people, everything was amazing. Housing was booming. The economy was roaring. Everything was great. But what Michael Lewis uncovered in his book was that when people actually put boots on the ground and went to visit these vacant homes, or these homes that people were living in who couldn't afford to pay the mortgage. They hadn't paid the mortgage in 3 months. And these were the very mortgages. These were the very homes that were inside of these lumped together funds that people were investing in. They recognized a real problem. So boots on the ground, actually talking to people can yield results. And all you need to do right now is look at businesses that are having massive amounts of layoffs. So at the beginning of the year, Amazon announces 18,000 layoffs, Salesforce, thousands of layoffs, other companies listing thousands of layoffs. And we were worried that in the beginning of this year, the first quarter of this year, we were going to see a boom in layoffs. A number of major companies on Wall Street also pointing to a recession. JP Morgan Chase saying some different things. Goldman Sachs is not seeing a recession. So we'll see. But all I want you to know is we are seeing an increase in interest rates for the mortgage increases again in the housing market. So just over the past, the 30-year fixed mortgage over the past 8 days, jumped 10 basis points from 6.23% to 6.33% on Friday. And then the 30-year fixed rate on January 6th is up 8 basis points. So again, interest rates continue to rise. Government doesn't really care about inflation at all. It's not doing anything to curb inflation. And of course, you're seeing this play out right now in the House of Representatives, where Kevin McCarthy has been in a battle trying to become Speaker of the House, going through 10 different votes or 11 different votes, the longest in over 100 years pre-Civil War to become Speaker of the House. And there are holdout Republicans who've said, we want a balanced budget. We don't want just a blank check for $1.7 trillion anymore. Can we have a balanced budget and then we will vote for you as Speaker of the House? And he said no. And that's the kind of economy we are operating in right now. So do not believe government numbers. We also found out last week that the CDC has been lying from the very beginning about COVID numbers. They've been lying right to our faces and didn't want to release this information. It was only released because of a Freedom of Information Act request. They knew right from the beginning of the problems with the vaccine, transmissibility, adverse events. So they didn't want this information out there. Again, don't believe what the government is telling you. Do your own research on this and look what's happening in the broader market. Talk to your local businesses, seeing what the job layoffs look like in your area. And most importantly, protect yourself with real estate investing, actual tangible assets. The stock market is in the lowest point since it's been 2008. We continue to see crazy volatility in stocks, which we are likely to see in the beginning of this year. So again, protect yourself with smart investments like real estate, like gold, silver, tangible assets that have been around for 4,000 or 5,000 years. We saw at the end of the year, I'll just tell you, in our office at Morris Invest, we saw a lot of really savvy long-term investors who understand the value of buying properties now while interest rates are a little bit higher and prices are flat. getting additional properties in their portfolio so that when things turn around, they have gotten that whole year in the market or longer amount of time in the market rather than trying to time the market. Again, the difference between a smart investor and a newbie investor. So we saw a huge upswell in investors at the end of the year trying to lock in properties before that calendar switched over. So that's kind of a market update, looking at those interest rates, seeing what we are seeing right now with all of these layoffs. And we will, and of course, gold prices spiking to the highest it's been in 6 months. These are all indicative of trouble in the U.S. economy, trouble with the U.S. dollar, trouble in the U.S. housing market as it relates to interest rates, and trouble in the job sector. So pay attention to these things. All right, without further ado, let's get to some of your questions today. Our first question comes to us from Jules. Listen to Jules.
Hi, Clayton. My name is Jules. I'm 65 years old, retired, and having a hard time with it. I do have some money in a bank account that is just sitting there, not earning any money, and would like to invest, but I'm not sure if it's the right time for me because of my age to be investing in properties right now. What's your take on that?
Thank you, Jules. Well, let me just say this. It is never, ever, ever too late to start investing in real estate. Because remember, it's not just about you. It's about creating a legacy for your family as well. And I don't know, I can't speak to your extended family and what that looks like. But I can tell you that if you're in a bad situation right now, what are you waiting for, right? And you've got money sitting, you just admitted the issue. You've got money sitting in a bank account, which will never do anything for you. In fact, while it's sitting there, it's actually losing value, right? Because the U.S. inflation, U.S. dollar is continuing to go down. So every day that that money is sitting in a bank account, it's continuing to decline in value. So I would say, Jules, you know, book a call with our team at Morris Invest. We can talk with you. Again, it's totally free phone call. So just book a call with our team and we can talk with you about different options. We're announcing some really exciting things. So if, you know, for those investors who might not have a lot of capital to work with, we can really point you in the right direction. So we can help you in that way. And we can help you get set up with a self-directed account as well, a self-directed IRA. So you can be, you know, I know your retirement age, but there's a lot of benefits to having different account structures set up from a tax perspective. So it's never, ever, ever too late to start investing. I have investors who have worked with us at Morris Invest over the years who started in their 60s. They have now 5, 6, 7 properties that they have, and it's completely changed their family dynamic. Now they have a legacy to hand down to their children, right? And I don't know about you, you're at retirement age. I plan to live a long time. So, you know, maybe another 30, 40 years after retirement, right? So do you want to sit there and live off of this, like, you know, 401k plan or Social Security benefits or anything like that? Or do you actually want to create cash flow, actually create a legacy that you can hand down to your children? So I don't believe in the limiting belief of time. I really, really don't. It's never too late to get started. You know, I just turned 46 on New Year's Eve, so I'm a birthday boy. And, you know, some might say, well, now you just got to start thinking about coasting, you know, like, no, no, no. I'm thinking about new projects. You know, I'm always thinking about, because the moment I stop is the moment I die, right? I always have the energy to always create and do more things. And because that's how I live. You know, that's why we're put here, right? The moment you stop, you might as well just not even be a human anymore. So you got to keep going. You got to keep experiencing. You got to grow through discomfort, Jules. So I really am thankful for your phone call. And again, book a call with our team. I think we can point you in the right direction and get you set up. You know, if we can't help you, we can at least guide you in the right direction. So thanks, Jules, for that question. Today's episode is brought to you by Tommy John. Oh, it's cold out there. Yesterday morning was kind of the first cold day for us here in the new year. We live, you know, in a pretty warm area, pretty sunny area, and woo, it was brutal. And I did not dress warmly enough. So I went back inside and I grabbed some of my Tommy John loungewear. And I was able to take that cozy on my walk and I felt nice and warm. I walked out, I turned right back and the dog was like, "What are you doing? We just left." I'm like, no, we're going back. I'm getting dressed again. So when you start the year in Tommy John, you're that much more comfortable. So you can do everything better. Tommy John loungewear, pajamas, underwear have dozens of comfort innovations like luxuriously soft tri-blend and micro mobile. This is even hard to say. but just take my word for it. Micromodal fabrics. Say that five times fast. Micromodal fabrics and four-way stretch. Now, those are hard to say. Micromodal four-way stretch. Try to say that. And no lint balls or fuzz. They don't fuzz up, which I absolutely love. 20 million pairs have been sold. Thousands of five-star reviews. People love Tommy John. That's why Tommy John doesn't have customers. They have fanatics like myself. Here's a fanatic who raves about this. We got this quote. I bought one pair of loungewear and after wearing them for 2 days, got all the other colors available. The only place I don't wear them is in the shower. I love that. Plus, it's all backed by Tommy John's best pair you'll ever wear or it's free guarantee. I love, and I'm just one of those guys that love sitting by the fire, reading a good book, sitting there with the dog and the family. It's so nice, so comfortable, and you're going to love it too. Get 20% off right now, your first order at TommyJohn.com/investing. 20% off right now at TommyJohn.com/investing. See site for details. All right, our next question today.
Hi, Clayton. This is Maria Mendez. We're buying rental properties, just starting out of, live in Franklin, Tennessee. And I have a business LLC with Bank of America as my business checking. My question is, I have rental places in small towns that don't have a Bank of America. So I'm having to open multiple checking accounts at the local bank and then transferring money to my business account. Is there an easier way to do this?
Yeah, there's a much easier way to do this, Maria, rather than relying on local banks. So, you know, again, I can't tell you how to manage your money. I'm not a financial advisor. I'm not a CPA. So let me just say that for a disclaimer. Excuse me. The way that my wife and I do it for ourselves is we would set up different business bank accounts for each LLC. Okay. So, and it your mileage may vary. But when you're investing and you're protecting yourself, the reason you open an LLC is not for the tax benefits, because there's really no difference at all from the tax benefits of having a property in an LLC versus having it in your own name. The reason you're having it in an LLC is because of liability protection, right? And I highly recommend you read Garrett Sutton's book, The Loopholes of Real Estate. Okay, check out his book and his most recent book as well, which is on liability protection. I forget the name of it off the top of my head, but if you go to Amazon and look up Garrett Sutton, check out his latest book on liability protection. I highly recommend it. So with having said that, the reason you're setting up an LLC is for liability protection. And in that LLC is what you can only be sued for. You can't be sued personally for something that happens in the business, right? This is why we set up LLCs. So if a tenant slips and falls, or there's, God knows so what happens, you know, you never know what happens, right? America is the most sue happy country in the world. So, and those money grubbing lawyers love to make money any way they can. So you set up LLCs to protect those properties in the LLC. Now, there's a rule of thumb. Over the years, we've kept a value of about $250,000 per LLC. Some people go up to $500,000 per LLC. Some people go up to $1 million. It's totally up to you what you do. For us, I think we kept it at about $300,000 in value in each LLC, meaning let's say one house was worth $100,000, another was $100,000, another was $100,000. That's three houses in one LLC. And then we would create a new one if we were in the same town, basically. You just don't want too many assets in one LLC, because if you get sued, then they have access to all of the assets inside of that one LLC. That's the thinking behind this, okay? So now, having said that, what we did with that, we would set up multiple bank accounts depending on our LLCs. So wherever we had an LLC, we would set up a business checking account for that LLC. The property management company would pay into that account, and then that account would then funnel up to our holding company in Wyoming. And so we would be able to, in our bank account, structure that way. And that's how it would talk to one another. And again, you want to make sure that a lawyer sets this up properly so each of these LLCs are talking to each other correctly, legally. You don't just set up a whole bunch of LLCs and hope they're structured properly. You need to make sure that they're speaking to one another. Okay, very, very important. And again, if you want to book a call with our team, we can help you in that way as well. again, just go to morrisinvest.com and our team members can help you with that. Or you can also book a call with the team over at Corporate Direct. That's Garrett Sutton's legal company. And they can also walk you through that process as well. So, but the way, and so there's a couple of different banks we use, like Mercury Bank. These are digital banks that you can set up business checking accounts for. So Mercury Bank, it's all online. There's no brick and mortar. You don't have to go anywhere. You can set it up remotely. You don't have to go down to a branch. Okay. So Mercury, another one is Bank Novo. These are two digital business checking accounts, not personal, business checking. I love these banks. They're super simple. They are basically act as subsidiaries of Evolve Bank. And they're all digital. The app is fantastic. So you could have multiple checking accounts for your business inside of Mercury or Bank Novo for each of your different properties and LLCs. So that's basically the way we do it. And we used Wells Fargo for our broader business checking. So anyway, that's my suggestion. That's what we've done. Again, but your mileage may vary. Today's episode is sponsored by Money App. Now, if your money is currently in a traditional bank, earning little to no interest, or stored in one of those so-called future of banking apps, well, the truth is there's a better place to put your cash. Money App now offers an interest checking account with 3.25% APY on all balances. There are no monthly fees, no minimum balance. Money App is also FDIC insured up to $250,000 through Evolve Bank and Trust. Now through January 15th, Money App is giving away a total of up to $100,000 between 25 lucky winners in the Triple Your Paycheck giveaway. Here's how it works. Sign up for a Money App account, and every paycheck directly deposited into your Money App account from today through January 15th has the chance to be tripled if you are selected to win. The more directly deposited paychecks that hit your account, the more you can win. So visit www.money.app/investing to sign up for Money App. Again, that's www.money.app/investing. That's MONEY.APP/investing. Now, if approved and you fund your account, enter the Triple Your Paycheck giveaway and start earning interest on your cash today with Money App, 3.25% APY interest checking. No purchase necessary. Now, Money App is a technology company, not a bank. Banking services provided by Evolve Bank and Trust, members FDIC. Money App checking account has no fees and a competitive 3.25% annual percentage yield on all balances. Visit money.app/investing. For entry and eligibility details, each winner is capped at $4,000. Sweepstakes offered and managed by Prog Services Incorporated, not Evolve Bank and Trust. All right, our next question I think comes to us from...
Hi, Clayton. I invested in 3 new home builds here in Arizona City, 3-bed, 2-bath homes, and in a market that was doing really great, of course, up until about 6 months ago. And the homes were supposed to be built within 4 to 6 months. And we're sitting here at 8 months, and 2 of them are halfway done, and 1 of them hasn't even been started. And the market is going down, and there are other builders that are cranking away and getting houses built and sold in half the time. And I just wonder what my options are. I'm paying a 12% construction loan, 12% interest. And those costs are adding up, and the builder is just kind of taking their sweet time. They build their larger builder, but they do one-offs like this. And I'm afraid that I'm going to get screwed here. And I'm wondering if I have any recourse, if there's anything I can do. Is this a lawsuit situation? Thanks again. And I appreciate you taking the time. Take care. My name is Glenn Soderling, by the way.
Thanks, Glenn. So, Glenn, not to use you as an example here, but just as for our audience more broad, this is why we do these Q&A episodes, because it's not just about Glenn's question. A lot of people can learn from your experience, Glenn. And I'll help you in a second on some of the lawsuit side of this stuff. But first, just more broadly, one of the, years ago, this is something that we used to do at Morris Invest. We would sort of do investing early at early rounds of construction before it was even built. So someone could really invest early, lock up a property and go through that process. It just caused all kinds of problems. And we had a problem with a contractor in one of our markets that caused a lot of pain for us, quite honestly. There was a lot of lawsuits as a result of it. And it was really, really damaging. And fortunately, that person was made to pay for this, but not without a lot of damage in the wake of it. And it was a really, you know, painful situation. So we don't do that anymore. Like at Morris Invest, when someone comes to us, now they're getting a property that's already built, like it's done. So they're not sitting there waiting 6, 8, 9, 10 months for a property to be built. So they're getting a property that's already done. It's already appraised. It already has financing built into it. And it has a tenant ready to be placed in it by the property management team. And it has a cost segregation analysis handed to them. So I hear your pain. And the reason I bring this up is because we went through what you've gone through. We learned from that mistake. And then we completely changed our business to make sure that that never, ever happened again. So that's a cautionary tale. I just wanted to mention it here on the show. Now, yes, I hope that you have, I don't know what your contract looks like with this builder. It's going to come down to the contract here. You've taken a loan out. What recourse do you have? I'm not a lawyer, but I would absolutely have a lawyer look at your situation. But you always have to remember getting involved in a lawsuit takes your soul from you, okay? A lawsuit, you will lose something in the process, okay? And as a lawyer friend likes to point out, like you're going to end up going to some sort of a settlement. You're not going to go to a trial. But if you end up going through a settlement, like then it's in your control, like how it gets handled. Are you going to then, you know, sue them to a point where you get a certain amount of money back, some concessions? Like what's the goal? Like what do you actually want to have happen? To have it be completed as soon as possible and get a tenant in the property? Okay. Then maybe having a deeper discussion with that builder rather than threatening a lawsuit might be a thing. Can I sit down with you and say, look, here's our concern. Like we're seeing these builders across the street building these houses much more quickly. We were promised 6 months. Now we're at 8 months. Can we make a concession here on the carrying costs? Can you give us a reduction in the cost of the construction? Because we're eating into a loan that you promised this would be done in 6 months. Is that in your contract that they would be done in 6 months? You know, it all comes down to the contract here. And usually in construction, you're doing it in phases. So you're paying phase one. Then when phase one is completed and it's been inspected by the building inspectors, then you dole out the money for phase two. Then they go through that part of the construction. Then you're doling out the money for phase three upon completion and final walkthrough, right? So how did you pay this? Did you pay it all up front? That would have been a huge, you know, I'm not saying, but that's a pretty big mistake. You don't ever usually in construction just pay out a big sum for the build out up front. Usually it's done in stages. So again, these are all things to consider. I would definitely have a lawyer look over this though. And you need to make a decision whether or not you want to bring on a lawyer to go on a full-on lawsuit against this builder. That could just lead to all sorts of headaches and soul-sucking energy. So it really needs to be a personal decision. Again, I'm not a lawyer. But remember, you know, you're going to have to pay a retainer for a lawyer, a good lawyer. A good lawyer retainer should be at least about, you know, $10,000, like a really good lawyer. Like if you get like a subpar lawyer, you can get it for like $2,000 and pay a retainer. But a really good lawyer is going to be $800 an hour, $700-$800 an hour. So just think about that, because that's going to be a cost that you're going to have to carry. So again, look at your contract, go through it with a fine tooth comb. Do you know a friend that knows contracts really well that can go through this and help you save some money on having to deal with this from a lawyer, and then make a decision, having a meeting with the builder, and telling them, you know, maybe we can make some concessions here because you guys are well over the timeline that you promised me. And I have these 12% carrying costs to on this construction loan right now. So I'd love to hear your follow-up on this, Glenn. Please send us a voicemail follow-up here in the next few weeks. My heart goes out to you. I know what you're dealing with. Hopefully, we get some good news from your side. I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you, and I'm keeping you in my thoughts. And I hope that this comes across the finish line for you in a meaningful time, so that you can sit and rest easy and start to put these properties to work for you. So, anyway, much love to you guys. And again, I'm praying for you. So thank you guys for sending in your voicemail questions. Again, you can go to our website. You can also book a call with our team today if you're interested in real estate investing. We're building brand new construction homes in the best real estate investment markets in the country, in West Texas and in Missouri. These are the top markets in the country. No one even comes close. And the best, most landlord-friendly, job-friendly expansion markets, recession-resistant markets, as labeled by CNBC and other publications. These are the areas where we are in A-class neighborhoods with the best school districts, with consistent job growth and low crime, and all of the hallmarks of a great investment market. So if you're interested in that, please come over to morrisinvest.com, book a call with our team. Our team will take great, great care of you, and we will have a great 2023, everyone. Now go out there, take action, become a real estate investor. I believe it's the number one way to build wealth and protect your wealth. We'll see you next time.